Thank you for letting me join. I am very excited to be here. I'm very, very excited. You know, I first came to CU 3 years ago when I was chairman of Choose Chicago, and I was first being encouraged to run for governor. And I came then with the message that I'm carrying today, and we're actually implementing it. The tourism industry, the convention, the business meeting industry, core to our economic growth and our economic prosperity. We can generate more good quality jobs, more tax revenue, higher growth, more quickly in tourism and conventions and business meetings than in every other sector. The flexibility. That's just true. That's just true. Now, Cory and I were just joking. You know, I think many of you in this room probably came hoping that I was announced today that we got a budget and we're tripling our marketing for our tourism industry. I wish I was going to say that today. I'm not. So don't throw a lunch roll at me. But I am here because I want you to know we're working for you and we're going to deliver big results. Be patient, be persistent, actually voice your concerns, create some pressure on both political parties to compromise and get some results. Be part of the process. Don't just sit back because democracy only works when everybody gets engaged. Get engaged, push for results, please. I'm here. I wanted to drive up. I drove up from Springfield this morning because I knew your annual meeting was today. I wanted to come talk to you. I want to give an update on our efforts to restore confidence in our state government. That's the single most important thing we can do. We need the confidence of our homeowners, our working families, our parents with school children. Especially, we need the confidence of business owners, small business owners of all sizes. We need job creators to have confidence in the state of Illinois so they have confidence to invest here to accelerate our economic growth so that we can create higher paying careers for everybody in Illinois. That's really what it's all about. We can't cut our way out of our problems. We can't tax our way out of our problems. We've got to grow into our challenges. And we've got the, and you especially in tourism and conventions can help that. We've got to grow for number one priority. That's what I'm here to talk about. So let's go at it. So let me, I normally don't like to read speeches, but I got some data here I want you to know and a few numbers and dates that I'd like to take with you because this is an important turning point. We're at a turning point in Illinois' history. For decades, our state government has spent more than it has taken in, raising taxes, then falling back to deficits by increasing borrowing and spending at ever higher rates. It's been going on for decades. This is not a new thing. The key question is, will we stay on this failed path of the status quo, or will we change direction? Can we reform our government, change the root causes of our deficit spending, and put ourselves on a path of fiscal responsibility and stronger economic growth? That's the challenge before us. As you know, we've entered an unprecedented fourth month without a balanced budget. It's unbelievable to me. Outrageous, frankly. Despite this, our state agency directors in our administration have done a tremendous job in managing their departments without a budget. We have begun transforming state government, and we're implementing reforms that will save taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars right now. Our efforts are making government less expensive, more effective, and more efficient. Just last month, we saved taxpayers $22 million by ending a bad deal with the lottery and have now put out a new competitive lottery contract out for bid. At the Department of Healthcare and Family Services, our administration has taken cost-saving steps that will save taxpayers more than $70 million this fiscal year. At the Department of Central Management Services, we've renegotiated contracts and reduced the state air fleet, netting an additional $15 million to the state through a combination of cost reduction and optimization efforts. The Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, and this is appalling to me when I first went in there, they have a license process that's still done completely through paper records. By modernizing the system, we're reducing process time by 50%, and as a result, we're saving millions of dollars for taxpayers. The Department of Employment Security has taken new steps to save millions in unemployment insurance overpayments that have been going on for years. We've automated the employer tax payment system, and we've reduced the process time from 6 weeks down to 1 week in that department. And we're putting in an automated real-time power of attorney system that will take this process from 4 weeks to 1 day. Faster service, lower cost, that's what we're striving for everywhere in our administration. To shake up the old, inefficient way of doing things and move Illinois towards becoming a 21st century government. But while we're doing everything we can in our power to improve government, many of the biggest opportunities to save money require action from the legislature. One of the largest areas for saving is pensions. Reforming our pension system using a consideration model could save the state $1 billion every year and could save local governments an additional $1 billion every year. These $2 billion in annual savings can be accomplished in a manner consistent with our state constitution by removing certain compensation items from collective bargaining. That's an approach that the Senate President, John Cullerton, has agreed and confirmed that it's necessary for his pension reform proposal as well. Additionally, the unbalanced budget that was passed by the legislature last May assumed $750 million in savings in group health for government employees. The only way to guarantee those savings is by legislatively removing health insurance from collective bargaining. Now, this is a big topic, and I want you to understand what's going on here. Reforming collective bargaining inside government is not a radical idea, and it is not a partisan idea. It's not about Republicans versus Democrats. It's about good government. It's about making sure that tax dollars go to education, economic growth, tourism marketing, and services for the most vulnerable, not to expensive government bureaucracy. That's what it's about. Let me give you a few bipartisan examples of bargaining reform and mandate relief inside government that we're advocating for. Same things we're pushing for right now. In Massachusetts in 2011, a Democratic governor and a Democratic legislature gave local control of health care to municipalities and took portions of it out of collective bargaining. And it has resulted in Massachusetts in hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer savings. Democrats did this. In Illinois in 2007, a Democratic mayor of Chicago asked to get relief for Chicago public schools from state mandates that prevent and blocked outside contracting for janitorial and other services. Chicago got that special treatment. Other school districts did not. A Democratic governor and a Democratic legislature granted that local control for mandate relief only for Chicago. Should have done it for the entire state. In 1978, a Democratic president and a Democratic Congress enacted legislation which kept wages and benefits out of collective bargaining for federal employees, while leaving in and allowing collective bargaining over issues like work hours, assignments, and grievance procedures. Democrats, 100% Democrats, did that. In Illinois in 2011, a Democratic mayor in Chicago asked that length of school day and length of school year no longer be required subjects for collective bargaining for Chicago teachers. And the mayor was granted that request by a Democratic legislature and a Democratic governor. Right now in 2015, a Democratic mayor in Chicago has asked Springfield to take employees' share of pension contributions out of collective bargaining for Chicago teachers. Across America, and this is the critical thing, Illinois is an outlier, and this is what we need everybody to understand. Illinois is unusual in our position on these issues. Across America, 33 states limit all or a portion of collective bargaining in state or local governments. That is the norm. That is not a radical idea. Many of those 33 states are controlled by Democrats. Around the United States, 41 states support taxpayer savings by limiting restrictions on competitive bidding for taxpayer-funded construction projects. 41 states. We don't, but but 41 states do, and it results in huge taxpayer savings. Many of those 41 states are controlled by Democrats. This is not a partisan issue. This is a good government issue, and we've got to take it on. It's time we in Illinois get serious about collective bargain reform and unfunded mandate relief in government. It is a critical bipartisan issue where we can find common ground. Getting rid of unfunded mandates and giving decision-making authority on bargaining, bidding, and contracting back to local communities, back to your community, so you can decide, that can save taxpayers in Illinois billions of dollars going forward. You should decide. If you want to collectively bargain everything, terrific. It's your community. It's your school. You should decide. You shouldn't be told by Springfield. You should decide how that gets handled. It's your community. It doesn't belong to the Springfield crowd. It belongs to you. That's the key reform we need to get implemented. So far, the legislature has refused to vote on pension reform. They've refused to vote on our local control of bargaining reform. They've refused to vote on any of our reforms. Zero. Zero so far. They've also refused to do their constitutional duty to pass a budget where spending actually matches revenue. It's a novel concept, but you know that's required in the Constitution, and the legislature has refused to do it. That is the reason over the years we're in the mess that we're in. The legislature's failure to enact a balanced budget will, without a doubt, cause more people in our state to be harmed by not having a budget. Tourism marketing is going to get hurt. But I tell you, lots of things that most people would argue even bigger. I'm a tourist, I'm a strong tourism advocate, but bigger things are getting hurt, and I'm extremely upset about it. State financial aid for college students will not get paid. I'm furious about that. Many social service providers will have to close their doors. It's outrageous. They're putting assistance to the most vulnerable at risk. We should not let that happen. Universities and community colleges will not receive state funding, causing some to wonder whether they will be able to remain open for the second semester. That's outrageous. Should not happen. Unpaid bills will continue to pile up, delaying payments to local governments, pension funds, hospitals, nursing homes, other providers, pushing down our credit rating and raising interest costs on you, the taxpayers of the state. Should not happen. Not having a balanced budget this late in the year is simply inexcusable and unacceptable. Only the legislature can authorize a budget, and they have failed to meet their constitutionally required obligation to pass a balanced budget. Now the time is critical. We're entering a critical phase in the coming weeks. The longer the legislature takes, the more people will suffer, the bigger the deficit will grow, because there are court-ordered spending at high levels inside many departments inside the government that we can't control, I cannot control. That's causing the deficit to be even bigger. And it's going to force even bigger cuts later on. It's a tragic, tragic situation. Republicans have made it clear that we are eager to partner with Democrats to enact a balanced budget, a truly balanced budget. If the Democrats are willing to make structural reforms to the way government operates so we stop falling back into this deficit cycle every time. In order to reach a balanced budget agreement, we've taken most of our reform agenda off the table. And we've gone well beyond that. We've proposed major financial assistance to Chicago public schools. We care deeply that every child have a great education in Chicago and in every other school district. We've offered to let Chicago schools keep the $600 million they get every year in extra block grant money. And we're open to a Chicago casino. But we cannot, in good faith, ask taxpayers to pay more until we reform many of the problems we face as a state. In response to our recommendations, key legislators have countered. They've said, let's just double down on the status quo. Let's just raise taxes. And Governor, you do it. We don't want to do it. You do it. They're trying to force a massive tax hike without reforms. They have said no to every reform we've proposed. They've said no to term limits, which is a bipartisan 80% plus issue, bringing good government back into Illinois. They've said no to redistricting reform and fair maps, which is critical to have competitive general elections and truly have democracy work again, so we have fair election districts. They've said no to that. They've said no to true property tax relief by allowing local control of mandates on bargaining, bidding, and contracting, just like I said earlier, and like many states, Democrats have already done. They're refusing to even take that up. They've said no to passing a truly balanced budget, which they are required to do by the Constitution. The people of Illinois understand state government is broken and has been broken for a long time. That's why they are eager for term limits and a true freeze on their property taxes. But legislators who like the status quo are holding up the budget rather than giving term limits and mandate relief for real property tax reform, up or down votes in each chamber. The time has come for legislators who support high spending in Illinois to make a decision. Join us in passing structural reforms and a balanced budget, or continue to block structural reforms, including term limits and fare maps. But if you block reforms, then use your supermajority to pass your own tax increase to pay for the spending level that you want. But please choose now. Choose now. Time's up. Let's be reasonable here. The people of Illinois have been waiting long enough. While the path forward on the budget is entirely up to legislators in the supermajority, I am an optimist. I'm hopeful that the General Assembly will rise to the challenge. They've shown their willingness to work cooperatively on important issues of common interest. We got together and have done major criminal justice reform together on a bipartisan basis. We came together to close last year's $1.5 billion deficit without a tax hike or without additional borrowing. And we're capable of doing big things together. We understand that the reforms we're proposing mean challenging special interest groups. We're challenging them. That's hard. I get it. And we're challenging, unfortunately, legislators' own personal interests to a fair degree. I get that's hard, but we got to do it. We know this is difficult and may take some time to get comfortable with, but now is the time to do it. We're asking legislators who've pushed for deficit spending to carry out their responsibility to pass a balanced budget now with a sense of urgency. We must recognize that we can't ask taxpayers for more revenue unless common sense reforms like fare maps, term limits, and a true property tax relief program are adopted. We're capable of transforming the state. Together, we can restore responsible government, create a healthy economy that grows great careers for everyone who wants to work, and we can put our resources into building the best education system in America in every school district. That's where our tax dollars should go, not bureaucracy. It should go into the best education, vocational training in America for every child, regardless of income or regardless of address. That's where the tax money should go. Now's the time to get it done. We owe it to the people of Illinois to do that. I need your help. I came to ask you, talk to your legislator. Talk to both parties. Both parties got to come together. Now's the time. We can get this done. This is a key turning point. I love Illinois. I know you do too. I can judge myself by how well we're helping drive growth through tourism, conventions, business meetings. That'll be a key barometer. We can do great. We can do huge. We've been doing okay. We can do phenomenally well if we focus and get the job done. I look forward to working with each of you to bring back our great state of Illinois. Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.